the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-host John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you. We always start off this segment with Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry.
Well, I came across a really cool thing. It says, congratulations to BRP for 6 Red Dot Awards. And BRP employs some of the best designers in the industry. They are once again recognized for their hard work. They have 6 Red Dot Product Design Awards, and they are listed as following. The Sea-Doo Spark Trix Personal Watercraft, Can-Am Maverick X3 Side-by-Side, the Can-Am Maverick Trail Side-by-Side, the Evinrude E-Tech 150 to 200 horsepower G2 outboard engine, the Ski-Doo Snowmobile Rev Gen 4 platform, the Lin-Q snowboard / ski rack for Ski-Doo snowmobiles. And for those who do not know, the Red Dot Design Awards debuted in 1955 to acknowledge cutting-edge products, evolving industries, and seeking to improve customer experience with emerging tendencies. And it is run by a panel of roughly 40 experts who evaluate the product's level of innovation, functionality, formal quality, ergonomics, and durability to thoroughly conclude which concept merits the distinction. And for if you're more interested about this, they do this with a lot of different companies and industries. Just go over to https://en.red-dot.org. It's very interesting. I mean, they do this, and then they weren't the only ones. Yamaha.
If BRP comes up with something that flies, they'll have everything covered. They got water and land. They just need something in the air now.
Well, you know what? Honda already has that. Honda has all of them. Every single thing they have.
Yep, they have jets and the whole air.
That's right. They even have robots. And then congratulations to Yamaha because they got 2 of them for their commuter T-Max.
Yeah, their scooters. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really cool. But on the same thing, BRP has a recall. 2017 Can-Am Outlander and Outlander Max Terrain.
Good news, bad news.
That's right. Repair units of 6,500 and 2,800 in Canada. The dynamic power steering shaft can break. The result is a loss of steering control, posing a crash hazard to consumers. So I don't think there's not a week that doesn't go by, guys, that there's not a recall.
Yep.
I'm glad there's people on this.
Yep.
That they do get recalled. They get taken care of. That costs those companies, it costs the dealerships. The dealer gets recompense, but the only way they really make the money in the dealership is you come in, you get it repaired, and then they say, well, you know, I just noticed that you need an oil change, you need something else, and they can tag their own things onto it. And, oh, by the way, we got gloves on sale over here. Would you like to get some of those?
We always talk about aging Harley bikers.
Yes, we do.
Abandoning the sport. But what about the current generation of factory and plant workers getting older and entering retirement? It turns out that they're not getting a lot of people on the line that know how to just quickly build a motorcycle. And so then somebody leaves, you bring somebody in, now you got to spend time training him, and that slows down the line. So they've decided to start an apprenticeship program.
Cool.
Where they've got everything fully staffed, but they're going to bring in apprentices that are going to learn how to do it. And when somebody retires, then everybody moves up, and the best, you know, apprentice moves into wherever. And they feel this will keep them with people able to quickly build motorcycles as it goes down the line, and they won't slow down because somebody retired, and now I have to replace somebody.
Well, that's something that you do in plumbing, electrical, welding. Yeah. Most trades have an apprentice program.
Yep.
And it makes me think of, you know, it makes me think about the kind of the demise of vocational education.
Yes.
Yep.
And I remember when I was in high school, we had wood shop, we had metal shop, we even had an auto body shop.
Yep.
Yep.
And that just doesn't exist anymore.
Not very many. Yep. There are a few schools in our district, but yeah, I had all those. I had small engine repair, which that introduced me, and then I went off to the Votech school through a special program and did actually learn more about automotive.
And the dealerships are screaming for people to be techs because, you know, particularly certain models of motorcycles, certain makes, because they have, like, proprietary stuff.
Yep.
And you have to know how to fix their bike.
Right.
And, you know, Harley's pretty straightforward, I guess. The V-twin engine's pretty, you know, but it's like I always said, you know, everybody had to go back to school as soon as Milwaukee 8 came out.
Right.
So, but...
Well, and the other thing that we have discovered is some of these guys that come out of school, they know their stuff, they go into the dealerships, and then they find that, gee, I can make more money selling the parts, and they move up to the parts. And now you have a real need for more techs. And so I think you need to just pay these guys more. And John, you were saying that you have a tech that works with just your style of bike.
Yeah, the fellow that works on my bike, he works on one model of motorcycle. He only works on Honda VTXs. That's all he does.
Yep.
So he knows them inside and out and stem to stern. So, but, you know, I mean, the downside of that is that, you know, they built the last VTX in 2009 or something. So he has fewer and fewer bikes to work on every year.
Yep. Oh, well, he's going to have to learn something new.
He's going to need to broaden his horizons a little bit and learn another model.
Well, I came across a very interesting thing here, and I didn't know, but Polaris joins the ranks of a number of car makers and Harley-Davidson to have their products sold offshore to military members through a program unknown to most civilians called Military Auto Source.
Correct.
And I figured, you know, if you're out in the middle of Baghdad or something and you want an ATV to ride around and miss the landmines, hey, buy a Polaris. Other than that, when you're in Europe or Japan or any of the other 800 bases we have around the world, go out and buy a Harley. Or buy a Polaris now.
Well, that's not actually what they're talking about.
Oh.
What it is it's on return.
Oh, so you can order it and then
have
it.
You order it, and it's basically for that guy who sold his car before he went overseas.
Okay.
Now he's coming back to the United States, and why have to go out trying to find a car when you get there? Just order the darn thing. You get off the plane, take a taxi to the dealership, and drive away.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yep.
That's excellent. Well, there's our music. We'll be right back with more of the show, so hang with us. Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johann. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we have helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices. But hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? you greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John here. For more about the show, please visit us at www.worldofmotorcycling.com. We'd like to start this section off with Behind the Bars, where we spend some time covering cool stuff, trends, new bikes, people, and more.
So one of the things that you came across, Walt, was very interesting in Canada.
Yeah, they Sikhs, this is a religion in India, that they have to wear turbans. And this is not just a hat. This is very long hair wrapped up in cloth and then wound around their head to form this turban. And it's a part of their religion. They have to do it. Well, you can't get a helmet over that. I mean, you know, they don't have like 16X or something, you know, to get over this thing. So only in Manitoba and British Columbia were they able to ride motorcycles. But Alberta just passed it. And on the 12th, which is tomorrow, then they'll be able to ride without a helmet.
Oh, so you know, the other two already allow them to ride without a helmet.
Right, the other two allow them to ride, but if you go to Ontario, sorry, put on it.
But the thing is, that's three provinces.
Right, and hopefully it'll spread because, you know, they're not doing this to spite anybody. They want to ride a motorcycle, and you can't get a helmet to go over that turban.
Well, that's I never thought about that, but when you do look at pictures of India, people riding around without helmets all the time.
Yep.
And that's very interesting. I never even knew about that.
Well, there's a lot of stuff with different religions and so on. Sikhs, as it happened, the same thing. If you go down to our little software factory down in Redmond, you'll see guys walking around with these big, long daggers.
Well, we have here in Linwood, we have a number of Sikhs that walk right down the street. Well, I wanted to bring your attention that Yamaha is celebrating 10 years of protecting and maintaining off-road vehicle public lands. Yamaha employees celebrated the company's Outdoor Access Initiative 10-year anniversary this past weekend through the completion of their 10th volunteer project in San Bernardino National Forest in support of the OHV access opportunities, working with members of Southern California Mountains Foundation, the U.S. Forest Services. The effort continued a 10-year tradition of Yamaha Outdoor Access Initiative volunteer projects in the nation's most frequently visited forest. And if you know anything about it, Yamaha puts a lot of money back into these programs because they know that they put their money where they're going to sell their product, and they sell a lot of off-road vehicles. Therefore, they're into helping maintain the trails, the natural wonders around. And for those who might get a little fearful, hey, these guys and gals that love being, whether they're Jeeps or motorcycles or ATVs, they love the outdoors. And they have designated areas that they like to work in and play in. And they want to keep those as best as possible like anybody else. And if you allow them to have certain areas, they take pretty good care of them. There are a few people out there that, well, they don't take care of anything. But you're going to find that in any group. But the vast majority of these people really do a good job of taking care of their lands. So congratulations to those guys.
Yep.
Yeah. That's cool.
It is. And then Motorsports Aftermarket Part, known as MAG, announced the
MAG
company.
Group.
Yep. Successfully emerged from Chapter 11. Upon the emergence, MAG is now under new ownership led by Monami Capital Partners, Blue Mountain Capital, and Contrarian Partners. These three companies have extensive experience with consumer products and lifestyle businesses such as MAG and are committed to the continued growth and success. So now they can get back on things, doing business as usual, keep all their product lines going. But now they're owned by three different companies, three different investment houses.
Yep.
Wow, so that should be interesting. So I came across this young fellow. You know, we talk a lot about, the state of the motorcycle industry, and some people like to lay some of the issues at the feet of the millennials. But I came across a young fellow named he's 22 years old. His name's Henry Crewe. He's from the U.K., and he's just embarked on a 35,000-mile motorcycle trip around the world. And if he completes the trip before the 10th of May 2019, I believe that's probably his birthday, he'll set a new world record for the youngest person to go around the globe on a motorcycle.
Wow.
So there's a young person doing something really cool to promote motorcycling. Mm-hmm. He's also working with the Movember Foundation, which is a mental health foundation to raise awareness for men's health issues and prostate cancer and mental health. So some pretty cool stuff from a nice young man. So, yep.
Hey, John, it sounds like something's tapping in the background in there when you're talking. Is there something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can fix that.
I bet he's sitting there. He's probably tapping his counter with his clicking his pen. I know, John.
It's like, you know, John.
I know, John. What did you come across there, Walt?
Well, we have spoken in the past for a product called a screening Banshee horn, and now what this does is it's extremely loud. I mean, like obnoxious,
right?
Loud, but it is, if you just push it, it's not so loud. It's normal.
Okay.
If you hold it,
oh,
it goes to 130 plus decibels.
Oh,
well, that's
and
fine.
All your lights start flashing. I mean, this is like, okay, ass jerk. I want you to notice that I'm here. Don't kill me. Okay?
Oh, I like it.
You know.
So you become like a police cruiser with all
the
lights
again,
and
the
everything
police
going.
Have gotten upset about that until they saw what it was.
Right.
And they said, okay, in that instance, I guess we understand. But it's $119. You can order it.
And it looks pretty small. It doesn't look like a huge unit.
No, it's tiny. It says it's 20%. It's 40% smaller, 30% lighter, and 20% louder than the original one.
Right.
And so...
Well, you used to have a truck one on yours, right? On your old bike.
I used to have one. It sounded like a
semi-truck.
A semi-truck or something on Big Black.
Right.
But that was Howard's horn.
Right.
And Howard's horn used to be the loudest you could get.
Well, it sounds like maybe you need to go out and get one of these.
Passed a couple of times. Also, our friend David Ewell has put out two new paintings that are associated with flat track racing. One is called Flatline that shows old time flatline or flat track racers, and one is First Turn that is the modern resurgence of flat track racing. And being David Ewell, they are quite
gorgeous.
Beautiful paintings.
They're gorgeous. So, well, speaking
of flat track, the Atlanta flat track race will be broadcast on NBCSN this Saturday.
Oh,
so
okay.
Look for that on your local cable or satellite provider. I was able to stream it from Fans Choice TV last weekend. The race actually happened last Saturday, and pretty exciting stuff. So won't spoil it for anybody. I won't tell you who won, but it was a good race. Check it out. If you haven't dipped into flat track, it's pretty exciting stuff to watch.
Well, is that the one with Kenny Colbert
yep,
Jr.?
Kenny Colbreth. Yep.
Yeah. I was going to just say the stats, so we won't say the stats. So if you haven't watched it, you can watch it.
Yes, go and watch it.
But I did notice that MotoGP blow by blow is Cal Crutchblow won his third GP of the career yesterday, and but that wasn't the biggest story after the race.
No, it was not. I think the word for what happened in Argentina was fustercluck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man. It says things got really weird because Marquez had stalled his bike on the start grid, bump started it, then performed an illegal maneuver to get back into position. He should have gone back to the pit lane. He was given a ride-through penalty that nuked his lead. Desperate to get back in front, he was then involved with a collision with Alex Espargaró and Valentino Rossi, bumping Rossi into the weeds. The accumulated penalties dropped Marquez out of the points, though he ended in fifth. Johan Zarco was second, Alex Rins in third.
Yeah.
And Miller ended in fourth.
It was a crazy race. Jack Miller really kind of got he got screwed pretty badly on the starting grid. 23 out of the 24 bikes that started the race decided that they were going to change tires. Jack Miller was the only one who decided not to change tires after the warm-up lap. And the rule is that if you change tires after the warm-up lap, you have to start from pit road. Well, the powers that be in Argentina decided that, no, we're going to line everybody up on the grid, but we're going to give Jack Miller a 50-meter head start. So he really kind of got screwed in the whole deal. But yeah, it was some great racing. Check it out if you can. Sorry to spoil it for y'all, but yeah, it was a mess is what it was.
You know, it just goes to show that even at that level, things can go terribly wrong.
Terribly, terribly wrong. Yeah.
Nobody crashed and really died or anything. It was just, you see a picture of Valentino just kind of just whoop right off into the grass. Next thing you know,
it's not the first time that Marquez and Valentino have gotten into it. So that might be a renewal of an old battle. And
I think
that
so.
Get ugly fast.
Well, and the commentator said expect interesting times ahead because its race direction doesn't deal with Marquez. The other riders might start dealing out their own penalties.
Yep.
So for full details, go on over to MotoGP.com. where you can actually watch these things. And yeah. I think this is wonderful. I've got to get on. I've got to start watching. Now, I didn't get on there today, but can you watch the whole repeats on there? Do they save those things?
You know, I don't really know. I stream them from BT Sports over in the UK. So
okay.
I don't actually watch them on the MotoGP site. I think you can get the MotoGP Pass or something like that where you can stream them. One of the schools that I teach for up here, they get together on Sunday afternoons and they stream the race and people can come by the school and hang out and watch the race. So I've done that. So I think that's an option that's available. I don't know if there's a charge to do that, but.
Well, that is wonderful.
It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. I that would be great on a Sunday afternoon to sit down and watch some of this. I could handle that. So
yeah.
And our weather around here has been pretty crappy. I mean, it's been wet. It's not been good
and
for
you
riding.
You can't believe the weather sites.
Oh no, not at all.
Everything has been just wrong.
Absolutely wrong. I do just want to share a little bit of sad news. We lost a rider, female rider. Last week, she was pretty big on internet or on Instagram. Her name is Annette Carrion. She lived in Southern California, and she had a huge fan base on Instagram. She also promoted a motorcycle group for women that she co-founded. She had a crash on one of her favorite roads in Southern California, and did not survive. So, kind of a sad thing. She was kind of an amazing young woman who was promoting the sport, especially to women, and so she'll be missed.
Yep.
Wow. Well, we're coming up to our break, and we hate to end on such a sad note. We got some good news on the other side of some Why We Ride and Brian Carroll. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more and the trivia and safety tips and the whole bit.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
And you could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft. The compression in my engine.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show. And we've got a great guest lined up for you this week, and his name is Brian Carroll. Brian is the producer of Why We Ride, an award-winning documentary covering the world of motorcycling. He is also known for his work in Hollywood in the role of post-production supervisor on last year's Power Rangers, the upcoming remake of Robin Hood, Public Enemies, Deepwater Horizons, and Space Between Us. He is also involved in many other documentaries, movies, and TV shows in one role or another. He is also the founder of Why We Ride Motorcycle Ride. Well, it's a charity ride, which is a three-day ride ending in the Quail Motorcycle Gathering, which takes place May 5th in Carmel, California. So, Brian, how's it going?
Great, great. How are you doing? It's been a while.
It has been. It has been. We're both busy, so that's what happens.
Yeah. It's summer release time, and my charity ride's 3 weeks away from today, so it's... I'll be sleeping in May, it looks like, again.
Isn't that amazing? You know this, but on the other hand, the Quail happens in May. So it's like, if I'm going to tie in with it, you're saying, I've got to do it, right?
It is, and it's also, you know, a big month for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, May. So it all kind of ties in together, you know. It's kind of zeitgeist all at the right time.
So you're tying into the Ride for Kids Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. So your ride is actually your own ride to raise money for this, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Ride for Kids is a little different. That's something that the Pediatric Brain Tumor puts on themselves.
Yep.
We started a charity ride 4 years ago. Basically, it came from an assistant editor, actually, for Why We Ride. Our assistant editor on Why We Ride, unfortunately, died from a brain tumor.
Oh.
And yeah. So, and you know, when Why We Ride first came out, it was such, you know, I mean, what that movie started, it was a movie about our passion.
Right.
And it quickly became one of the biggest motorcycle movements in over 40 years with over, and what we didn't see coming out of it is, you know, we have over a million followers in various forms on our social media. So we're like, we got to do something good with this. And most of what we do, if it's either going to be for children or it's going to be for soldiers or veterans. That's our two biggest, you know, things that we like to support. And when we found out about the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, we're like, well, this is the perfect one to partner up with. And we want to do it purely as a benefiting the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. So we organized a ride called Why We Ride to the Quail, which and then we turned that into Why We Ride to the Quail benefiting the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. And this is our fourth year. And it was for a lot of reasons. One of them, of course, we wanted to raise money and awareness, which is one of the biggest things we do for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
Right.
But also, nobody was doing a three-day ride for any of this kind of stuff. The ride for kids is an hour or two or half a day. And this is a way to do a three-day ride. We have people from all over the country, from all the world, as far away as India and Mexico City come to this ride, come and enjoy California for 3 days, go up the coast, go through the vineyards. I mean, it's just a beautiful way to bring people together and do what Why We Ride does, because Why We Ride is about family. It's always been about family, and that's what this is our family just continues to grow and grow through these rides, and it's for a good cause, which is to raise money for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. So the details, I know this year you're pretty much filled out, but when you started out, how many riders went on this?
You know, the very first ride, there was 17 of us. I think the farthest somebody traveled was Brian Clark, came down from South Dakota. So it was 17 of us. It was this little kind of like family, you know, close guys, and we're going to do this ride. And day one, it poured on us, which was embarrassing because I always bragged to Brian how great weather we have in California and why does he live up there in that freezing cold. And, of course, the first day is like 40 degrees and raining. It was very funny. So, but it was just 17 of us on the first run. And then the next year it doubled. We had 37. And then last year we had, I think, 68, I believe it was last year.
Wow.
And Yeah, and it's like, so basically, and this year right now, we're basically going to put a limit on it of 100 people just to keep it that family. You know, it's, we basically has consistently doubled. And also, besides the riders, we've why we ride to the Quail has consistently doubled its contribution to the brain tumor, to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation since our first ride, too. So between the riders, the sponsors that come on and help us, it's just continuing to grow. And this is our fourth year. And next is our fifth, so next one will be a big one.
Now, when people go for the ride, I'm thinking, okay, it's a 3-day. So is this a package deal that people actually purchase? Because you've got to line up the hotels, you've got to line up the eateries, you've got to line up all your places you're going to stay and stop. How does that work?
Exactly. It's for the last 4 years, it's been a package deal where you had a ticket price. There was a individual tickets, or if you were bringing, you know, your partner, your spouse, there was a discount for that. And then, of course, we always give a big discount to veterans that come. And then we had deals with hotels where, you know, you're getting $100 off a night a room, where we made special discounted rates with those. Because this ride has gotten so big, this will be the last year we're doing that. Next year, we're going to make it even easier for our riders, where it'll be all, you know, we'll include the hotel in it. But you know, it's easier for them. But the ticket price, like this, you know, it includes, you know, we start at Lucky Fools in Moore Park in the morning. It's a breakfast, rider's dinner, you get your wristband. We then, for lunch, we always stop at historic places for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like last year was Ray's Creek. This year we're going to be stopping at the historic Cold Creek Tavern, which was a stagecoach inn 1886. They are going to do these amazing tri-tip sandwiches for us. Then we arrive at the evening at Seacrest Hotel. We have a big barbecue out there on the beach, which is awesome. Friday, everything's included, meals, everything. Friday morning, we get up and we get going early around 8 because we're traveling up the coast. And then we hit inland into the Paso Robles wine country and the vineyards,
yep,
which is just gorgeous. We do something really special Fridays. We actually have lunch at the Mission San Antonio de Padua.
Excellent.
Which this mission was the third mission built in California. It's built in 1773, which is just amazing. And it's a really rare treat. We're one of the few people they let come there. And we have a big catered lunch with tacos and enchiladas and stuff like that. And then we head up to, which is some of the greatest riding in California. This year we'll be going through the Nacimiento Ferguson Road, which if you get up to 15 miles an hour, you're lucky on that road. It's so twisty. It's,
yes,
gorgeous. We'll go up through the Redwoods so our fans and our riders can see the Redwoods and Big Sur into Carmel. And then we hit Friday night for the riders' dinner. And again, all that's included. The riders' dinner is really special because we'll we have sponsors that help us with this. A few motorcycle sponsors, but because how big this has grown, we're getting a lot of industry people and people outside the industry. We have like construction companies and just people who love to ride, you know. So they'll get up, talk a little bit. Steve Squire from the PDAC Brain Tumor Foundation will get up and talk a little bit at the riders' dinner about what they're doing. Then we'll always have some inspirational speakers get up there and talk. We have an award called the Steve Moore Spirit of the Ride Award. A gentleman who was on our very first ride who passed away, but just his dedication to this cause. So we pick somebody from our ride each year that receives that. And then we have great, like this year, I think is a prime rib dinner. So it'll be another, again, all included, a great dinner. And then we'll have an amazing raffle. We get like from tires to helmets to jackets to scooters. The raffle is probably one of our biggest raises at this dinner for the cause.
Wow.
And then we stay up late Friday night. So then Saturday we don't get going until about 10 a.m. But we have a little private ride to the Quail Motorcycle Gathering. They have a little VIP parking area for our bikes there. We go in, we have a 5-star catered lunch, and then just get to see some of the most gorgeous bikes, you know, in the world that all come together in rare bikes for this event. And then after that, everybody's kind of free to go. Some people will start heading home. Some people will continue up north. Some of us will head back to the hotel that night. And then we usually, if it's warm, we'll do a little Sunset Beach barbecue, grab some pizza and beer just to say hasta la vista till next year.
Yep.
And that kind of wraps it up. And then Sunday, the rest of us are on our way. And like I said, it's all included within the ticket price. It does a lot of awareness. And then what we do too is we have drones and video units with us. So we'll film it, and then, you know, a few months after the ride, we'll send everybody a little, you know, 5-minute little video that they can post on their site. But this year, we did something special. We actually will be releasing our second documentary. It's called Why We Ride to the Quail, and it's what we've been shooting the last couple of years. So we're actually going to be releasing a 15-minute documentary the week after this year's ride, and it's going to be on a GoFundMe page to really help even more raise money for the PDAC Brain Tumor Foundation.
Oh, excellent.
And that documentary, yeah. And when we get closer to that, I can tell you a little bit more about that. But that's really the kickoff. Since next year is going to be the 5th anniversary, we're expecting it to be really big. We want a whole year, and we want to use this documentary that we've been shooting to help raise money for that, you know, for next year's ride. So we're really excited about that. But, yeah, you get a lot. You get a lot for your ticket price. So,
well, you know, we'll be working with you to promote the Dickens out of this thing because we enjoy what you're doing. And the question I had is you've got, let's say, 75 people this year going on the ride, and are they all one group? Do you kind of break into smaller groups to kind of keep the congestion down? How does that work?
Well, you know, we're an AMA-sanctioned event, of course. So that's why the limit is going to be 100. So right now, we're one long group, but the groups naturally kind of divide up a little bit. I have 5 ride leaders that are with me. You know, I have one in the front, one in the back, and Barry's in the middle. That helps us with all the turns, but also because you'll see slower riders will start slowly moving towards the back. Some of your faster riders will move a little bit more towards the front. So it's a very safe, and safety is our number one priority on this ride. So nobody gets left behind. So we have it set up so it's a group, but it definitely spreads out over a couple miles once we get out there and get going. A lot of people have never ridden in a group, and when they come and ride with us, they see the excitement of it. But it's also a matter of, but you still need to keep that distance if something happens. Because for like, you know, last year we had a group from Mexico City, and I kept saying, you guys back up a little more because you see the ocean. You see, you're always looking too. You know? It's like we're going through this beautiful country. So, but we have that. And we also have a great support. Like we'll have, I have a lead van that's usually about 15 minutes in front of us that hits every stop. So they get the water and everything set up. And if our riders have second helmets or something, they're in that. I then have we have 2 vans that head up way ahead of us to set up, you know, for the final nights. Ava Carol Brown, our production supervisor, she's in those that are, you know, they're 4 hours ahead of us. But with our group, we'll have a lead van, which has the water and snacks and stuff like that. We'll have our five riders with a ride captain who we nominate every year. In the tail, we'll have the luggage van for everybody so they don't have to carry their luggage if they want on their bikes and put all their luggage and extra stuff in there. And then we also always have a chase vehicle for breakdowns. And the last couple of years, we've been so lucky because one of our sponsors has been Motorcycle Mover Los Angeles. And he has these amazing trucks with the flatbeds that come down and pick up the bike. So, you know, because we always, you know, it's usually an old Bonneville that breaks down, but we always have something that has to cool down a little bit. So,
right.
We got him. Yeah, so he's behind us. And also we have it for safety. The reality is, you know, sometimes if somebody's tired, we don't want them riding. You know, just like load the van up. We got 3 cars and vans following us. Jump in, ride in the car for a few hours or, you know, ride the rest of the ride. So safety is our number one concern. And that's why we have such a great support. And the support's all family. It's all, you know, we have uncles, my wife, my father-in-law, my mother. It's like it's a family event. My family all came together to help put this on. So everybody knows everybody, which is great.
You know, I'm pretty amazed you guys started this 4 years ago. This will be your 4th year, and the next year is going to be the 5th year, and you've just evolved this, and you've brought on really good sponsors, and we're going to get behind this 100%, and I got some ideas, so when we're done with the interview, we can chat a little bit. But so if people want to know more about how to get information, they just go whyweride.com, correct?
They can go to whyweride.com, and on there there'll be a link to our page, which is called motivational.com, MOTOVATIONAL. The Motivational Events is our branch of Why We Ride that does these kind of motivational events. So we have our own site called motivational.com, and from there they can go and they can see the schedule, the itinerary, registration, hotels. There's a great gallery there where they can see the trailer is there from last year's where they can, you know, there's a nice little 2-minute trailer.
Excellent.
Under videos there. They can see it if they want to become a sponsor. And we still have, I think, about a dozen tickets still left for riders. But what we also do now is because the dinner is such a big gathering, such a great event, for people who are coming up but don't necessarily want to ride with us or can't but want something to do that Friday night, we sell dinner tickets as well where you can come and join us at, you know, have the prime rib dinner and meet all the guest speakers and just be part of the family.
Well, that is awesome. I just want to tell everybody, go over to whyweride.com, check it out. And, Brian, it's been wonderful having you on. We will get you back on after the event and talk more. I'm trying to get the guy that sets up the whole quail. I've got him, Gordon McCall. I've got him hopefully set up for next week's interview. And so you guys work with him. So, Brian, thanks so much for being on here. We support everything you do. And, gosh, time's flown too fast. So thanks for being with us.
Thanks again. And definitely say hello to Gordon for me. None of this would be possible without him and his vision for the quail. He's a great friend and an amazing, amazing visionary.
Perfect. Well, thanks a lot. And, folks, check him out. We'll have it all posted on our website and podcast. So that's it. We'll be right back with more of our show and our safety tips. Bye-bye.
I saw the road ahead. It was a long and winding trail. I saw a chance to lead.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. Make sure to visit our blog at www.worldofmotorcycling.com. Use the contact form to send us your email. In this segment, we like to start things off with our Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. John, what tip do you have for us this week?
Well, I'd like to talk about riding at the limit. This is a subject that we cover in our basic rider courses, where we talk about, you know, as motorcyclists, many of us, you know, we enjoy a sensation of speed. We like to go fast. But the important thing to remember is there's a time and place for that. And the place is definitely not on the public roadways. If you like to go fast, if you want to ride your motorcycle at the limit and really explore what it's capable of, get yourself to a racetrack. Many of the dealerships in your area probably sponsor track days where you can take your bike out to a track and you can really open it up and you can explore the limits of your motorcycle and of your own skill in a safe, controlled environment where you don't have to worry about cars, cross traffic, intersection, any of those things. So if you want to go fast, that's the place to do it. Get yourself out to a track day. It's You know, it's worth a couple of bucks to go do it. You'll learn something about what your bike can do, and you'll learn something about what you can do. So that's my tip for the week.
And, you know, you were saying on the off-air that we have a local race, Washington Road Racers Association. I think that's what it's called.
And Washington Motorcycle Road Racing Association.
That's yeah. right. And you told us some sad news so far with that group. Not that they're bad. They're an awesome group. We had them on.
They're an awesome group. We had them on. Yeah, the issue is that they did have to cancel their opening weekend, which was this coming weekend, the 14th and 15th, because they were unable to find an insurance company to offer them with liability insurance to cover them for the event. They as a result of an incident in 2013, there was a lawsuit that named both WIMRA and Pacific Raceways, and although WIMRA was absolved of any liability, an arbitration judgment was made against the association's insurance policy, which covered the track as an additional insured party for the event. So 2 weeks prior to the policy renewal date of March 1st, WIMRA was notified that its coverage would not be renewed. And here we are 6 weeks later, and they are still not able to obtain an insurance provider willing to offer coverage because of the judgment. So they're not able to secure proper liability coverage, and so they had to cancel round one of their 2018 season. So you can get more information on that on their website at WMRRA.com. If you were, in the process of getting your racing license and whatnot, there's some information on there about that and how they're going to deal with your novice racing fee, et cetera, et cetera. So check that out on their website.
And the point is this, is that you may not think about it as a person who likes to go out and race and or rev your motorcycle up and test your limits. But first of all, if you tell your insurance company that you like to race, you're going to have a lot of maybe issues because your insurance company itself may not cover you for racing.
Absolutely.
And then you add that on top of that, you add the factor of the association. They don't even own the track. They are just leasing the track.
Right, they're renting it for the day.
That's right, and then you have the track. There's nobody there. It's owned by a company. Well, now that company can be held liable because there was an accident on that track. Now, unlike right. public highways and roadways and byways, if you have an accident, you know what? You can't sue the state or the county unless there was something wrong with the specific road that they didn't repair. But if you go to a track, you can sue those people. If you're in a right. if you're in a store, you slip, you hit your head, you can sue that store, even though you're the one who slipped, you came in off the street, you had moisture on your feet, and you slipped and slid, and bam, you went down. And so the problem with this is we want riders and motorcyclists and even car drivers that like to race, we want to get them on the track because that means no street racing, track right. safety. And now with this kind of litigious ideation in our society, it really puts the kibosh on the racing associations. And that's a shame. It really is.
Yeah. And it takes that opportunity away to go to explore your limits.
Well, and once again, I mean, you know, it's not just the fact of the insurance and all that kind of stuff and who you can sue or whatever. It's the actual safety of it.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you're roaring down the road way too fast, you've got other people who are not acting that way there.
And that's right.
You could run into them. You could miss a turn and get too far over and head on right. And we have videos of people
that's
missing
right.
a turn, going over and going and head on into something mm-hmm. coming up. But so if you want to get out there and you really want to go screaming fast, then you get out on a track. When I used to be, and once again, at our little software factory down there, they have Redmond Riders, and they're always talking about track days.
That's
because
right.
Because you
yeah.
get out, and you just let it fly.
That's right.
Yep. And if you crash, absolutely. You usually crash into hay bales.
Yep.
There's an mm-hmm. ambulance there. There's yep. trained mm-hmm. medical personnel on site.
That's right.
And so, you know, if you're going to go and you're going to get dangerous, you want to make sure you have the support in case everything goes horribly wrong.
And here's the thing. There's more control on a racetrack, and if you're going, even you're going at 120, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, when these guys wipe out, they may break a leg, but if they were on the freaking highway, they'd be dead.
Oh, my Lord.
They'd be dead. Yeah,
and
they'd hit something else.
And somebody would roll over them.
Or maybe you go down a ditch.
Or you go off
the
ditch.
That's
right.
And the next thing you know, your own motorcycle's running over you, you know?
Well, and speaking of some very interesting things that kind of dovetail into that, I put this together as from the morbidity files comes the following stories. The first one comes out of Olympia, Washington, from the Olympian newspaper. Warning, don't run from a cop, it may cost you dearly.
Yep.
A man and a woman were arrested in Lacey late Tuesday night for attempting to flee from police by a motorcycle, according to the Washington State Patrol. Just before midnight, troopers attempted to stop the motorcycle, which was traveling southbound Interstate 5, exiting at Marvin Road Southeast Ramp for expired tabs. The suspects fled, running a stoplight with the WSP troopers and Thurston County sheriffs in hot pursuit. The pursuit ended when the motorcycle hit the barrier. The passenger, a 28-year-old Shelton woman, was arrested at the crash site. Now,
The passenger?
Yes. Well, both of them were.
What happened to the driver?
Well, they kind of didn't point that out, but both of them got arrested. And the fact is when you have, you know, when you're getting pulled over by a cop, just pull over and take your just desserts.
It's expired tabs.
You're just going to get a fine. It's not going to go on your record as a speeding ticket. Just pay it's not like you've been speeding down at 120 miles an hour.
Now you're in it deep.
That should be
right. Now the thing to remember is it was like what we were talking about, being within your limits. Well, that cop's limits are a lot bigger than yours are. He's way better at this than you are.
But you won't outrun my Motorola. Right? I mean, that was the old saying.
That's right. Well, hey.
There is no motorcycle that will beat a radio.
Nope.
Well, guys, we're down to one segment. Don't go away because we have rallies and runs and trivia questions coming right up.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. Walt, tell us what's happening out there.
Well, on May 3rd through 5th, the very person that we just had an interview with, We're going to have Why We Ride to the Quail.
Yeah, that's right.
And so on. And so on the 11th, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach Bike Week. And like I've said before, the allegation is that they have made peace between the government and the merchandisers because they want to make money and the government has discovered it's not as bad as they thought it was. On May 22nd, Dragon's Last Ride fundraisers at the Red Onion in Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. So if you're anywhere around the Puget Sound area, come on down, buy some really great munchies, and help out Pediatric Sarcoma Foundation. Mm-hmm. On June 1st is Reno, Nevada, is Street Vibrations, and let me tell you, that is a blast. It's one of the only ones I've ever done. In Carson City and Tahoe, Carson City, and Virginia City, Nevada.
And those are fun places
to
visit.
Fun.
It does.
And then on June 9th to 17th in Laconia, New Hampshire, which is where my wife is from. I'm required to do this every week. There's the Laconia Motorcycle Week, and you can find out about that at www.laconiamcweek.com. Like I say, she used to go and watch this, and that's how she learned to tell me I couldn't have a motorcycle because she was afraid I'd kill myself.
Well, John, what do we got for trivia this week?
Let's see. Well, I want to throw out one more event. June 18th is the 27th annual Ride to Work Day. So get
That's
your motorcycle
right.
out and ride to work yep. on the 18th.
Excellent.
So yep. I'll definitely be doing that. Trivia. Let's see. What do we got? Give me a second here. Last week's question was about CB, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What does CB stand for in Honda's CB line of motorcycles? It stands for City Bike.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty simple, right?
Yep.
Nothing much to it. All right. So this week, we were talking about the MotoGP, and we talked about Cal Crutchlow winning his third race in the MotoGP. So he becomes the first Brit to lead the MotoGP championship point standing since who? That's the question. Who was the last Brit rider to lead the MotoGP championship series?
Oh, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. Well, I did come across one interesting thing here, and it was just to remind people, Sarasota, Florida, Sarasota County Sheriff's arrested a driver involved in a violent road rage incident. There's a video.
I heard about this.
WFLA.
Yeah, I saw the video.
In a video, a motorcyclist seen visibly arguing with the driver in a gray car. The car careens over, slams the man into the side, tumbling into the sidewalk, and the guy takes off. Ultimately, this guy is named Miguel Madrona Bonahila, 30, a Sarasota, an illegal from El Salvador, who stripped the car so he couldn't be found, but they still found him. The lesson here is, if you're on a motorcycle, back off and quit arguing with people in cars, because they can kill you or hurt you very badly.
Yep.
Jeez, folks.
You will lose every time.
Yep.
Well, there's our music. That wraps it up for this week. This is Walt.
And this is John.
This is Steve.
Remember, wherever you happen to be looking is where you'll happen to find yourself riding before you know it. So stay safe, and we'll see you out on the road.